You're now listening to Now in Technicolor. Sit back and enjoy and hear two different takes on two different stories from two different time periods.
If you haven't seen the 1985 and the 1990 Clue and Stephen King's It, then no, that's all right. That's all right. We're going to sit here. We're going to talk about it. But the main thing that we really want to know is, do they really all float down here? Well, let's find out. Everybody ready? Let's start the show.
Here, Tom Thompson, adventure begins. An exciting spectacle brought to you by Now and Technicolor Podcast.
All right, everybody, and this is Jay Lost a Day, or John.
This is J-Man, the most hated man on the Podfix Network.
Every time.
So hated, I tell you what. He's a heel, that one. And Smashley over here. I'm having a taco cat tonight, you guys.
It's really a taco cat.
It's a thing.
It sounds suggestive.
It's a beer, and it's a kettle sour ale by this company, Finch Beer Company, and like the name of this beer is Taco Cat, and I like sour beer a lot, so it was
a really good beer.
It was actually. It was a chance kind of, because we were like, we don't know, because you never know with new beer, right? But from the very first sip, I was like, super glad we picked this beer.
I've had something from Finch. I just couldn't remember exactly what. I've had a lot of beers.
Yes.
So.
But this one is delicious.
I'd have to look over their catalog to figure out exactly what taste I've tasted, but I don't remember off the top of my head. I'm drinking a Terrapin, which is one of my favorite breweries. I'm drinking a Blueberry Thyme Saison Ale. It's fucking 9.1% alcohol. It's their side project number 30.
Ooh, number 30. You're gonna be 30.
I turned 30 this year, so that's a coincidence, right?
We both do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a really good beer, you know.
I'm past 30.
It comes in a bomber, you know?
Yeah, it's a nice bomber.
It's actually a little less than a normal.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is not a full-size bomber.
Yeah. What is that usually, 22?
I believe so.
Well, no, this is 1.9.
1.1.
1.9, so this is barely over a pint. So this is like 17 ounces in this.
So, I mean, it's a little less.
Yeah, it's like 5 ounces less. You know, it hits you hard when it comes down to it.
That's true.
But, I got it because...
Because you love Terrapin.
I love Terrapin.
That's true.
And I try to try all their side projects, man. They had a fucking... one time they had like a... What was that one? It had lips on it. I don't remember. They've had a lot of good ones.
They've had a ton of good ones. The Mosaic's fucking amazing.
Yeah, that actually started as a side project, and they went into their traditional line.
I remember because we got it back when it was actually the side project. And we're like, man, this was amazing.
Well, this one is too. I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah. Looks like, I mean, Terrapin, you usually cannot go wrong with Terrapin.
I love their single origin coffee stouts.
Yeah.
Man, Evil Twin, I know that's your boy.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you can really see me point at him on this podcast really easy.
Your boy, Shampoo.
Yes.
The esteemed legend of the Podfix Network.
The drink master himself.
Evil Twin. I was about to grab their Citra IPA. It's their low level one. It's like their session IPA. It was 4.5%, but it looks like it has the dude on the box, like Big Lebowski, I think, is what the artwork looks like.
I think it has the dude on it. I think I've seen that.
But I didn't get it because it was really expensive for it was a four pack. I think it was all pints though, but it was like $11.
Was it a four pack of pints?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's 4.5% alcohol.
Yeah.
I'd slam that whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I know you would.
Yeah. What other news you got?
Again, I'll probably do that one. 4 point shit.
Did he say what he's drinking?
I was like, what are you drinking?
I haven't even got to mine yet. I was like, I actually got a new beer that I haven't had. And you said you've actually had it before when I got here.
I got it last weekend.
And is a Blackberry Farm Brewery Cody Tactics IPA. It is 7.2%, and it's a very straightforward IPA. I mean, it's all hop and then a lot of bitter.
Hey, man, I really like that company. I tried a beer they made with Yazoo. That's the first time I had them.
Oh, yeah?
And it was a, because they're in Tennessee. They're from Tennessee.
That's local.
Yeah.
Well, hell yeah.
They made a orange IPA together. And it came in a big bottle, you know, it was a big bomber thing, and it was really good. And then I saw that, and I had to try it. They got some other stuff, too, I need to try.
Yeah, they
Tennessee's starting to fire up, man.
Yeah, our thing today, our cooler is about, like, at the store that we locally shop at here. They have, like, a cooler that's, like, 6 foot, like, by, like, 4 foot, I guess, of beer. And they have one dedicated to Tennessee, I noticed today.
Total Beverage, I looked at their social media, and they almost have one whole side of one of their shelves, all Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And Burrow Blonde just got started. Today's the canning for May Day.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to start canning that.
Fuck yeah, May Day.
If you ever come to Murfreesboro. May Day
is, what I understand, is much worth it.
You have to go.
Yeah.
Mill Creek, though.
It's just fun. No. Aussie's just fun. Like, the whole thing is just fun.
If you listen to our show, live in or come to Tennessee, avoid Mill Creek.
Yeah, but you should go to May Day.
Like, you should go to May Day if you have the chance. You should definitely go to May Day.
Like you're saying, Aussie rules.
Yeah, it's
he's the owner.
It's really fun. You won't go anywhere else like that. I can promise you that.
I was like, well, we've been down to the Sweetwater Brewery, and I think you said this was a lot funner.
Yeah, because they get you way drunker.
Yeah.
Like, it's a $10 store.
Your cup's never empty.
Nope. And there's people turning down beer. Because, like, they're just trying to give you so much beer. Because they just keep bringing pitchers out.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh,
you're just like, man, I keep drinking these. I'm not going to drive home. I'm going to, like, pass out in this damn floor.
You're like, that's not what I was drinking. And they're like, it doesn't matter. And they're pouring it in your cup anyways. Or you're like, let me finish. You have, like, this much left. And I'm holding up, like, two fingers. Like, you know, two fingers of milk, Mom. Like Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
And,
give me two fingers of milk.
Yeah. And so, like, you're just like, hold on. And then you're like, let me just chug that real quick so I can have a new glass for you to pour this new beer in, because it's always something. I swear. It's fun, though. I just can't tell you. Just go to May Day if you're coming to Murfreesboro. Go, go, go.
Do we have any other news? Like, any trailer talk? Do we talk about any of these trailers that came out? You want to talk about any movie news?
I was going to say, like, the big thing, I don't know.
There's a
new It trailer. There's the Ready Player One.
I didn't watch that trailer yet, but I know a lot of people were talking about it.
I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna go see that movie. I don't know I was gonna go see the movie anyway, minus the trailer.
Yeah. What is exactly the premise of this movie?
It is literally like this guy, and it's like a bunch of nostalgia and gaming, and he ends up getting into like a bunch. Like, he literally goes into the game.
Mm-hmm.
You talking about Jumanji right now, right?
No.
Are you talking about The Wizard?
No.
With the esteemed Fred Savage?
I should be.
That's the same movie, though. He went into the game.
So does this new Jumanji trailer. I'm so confused right now because everybody's doing the
same
thing.
Apparently, there's five movies where people are going in games now.
Yeah. Like, I just popped into this conversation
for real.
That's
the hot
thing. That's the hot thing.
Because I was reading other things on my phone.
Damn virtual reality taking over the world. I'll tell you something, man. That Justice League trailer did not impress me. It looks so CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm out of the loop on the superhero movies. I don't really watch them. I watched Guardians of the Galaxy, and I really enjoyed that.
Yes, I was so happy.
Yeah, I was like, did we mention that on the last one?
I think we did, but
I think we did. I think we actually mentioned that.
It really was a good movie.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just didn't see it. The whole hoopla with the Justice League.
I'm still where I was about the Justice League. I'm neither happy nor excited nor very like.
You watched the trailer, right?
I haven't seen the newest one.
Okay, well, at the end of this trailer, there's this whole thing of like who's in, was it the butler's eyes, the glasses?
Oh,
What's his name?
Alfred.
Yeah,
almost called him Arnold.
It's Nightwing? Are they talking about Nightwing?
They say there's somebody like
that. We're hearing some Nightwing, Nightwing talk.
I've heard Nightwing. I heard Hulk. Is Hulk in this?
No. That's Marvel, man.
Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
Because he's not in the trailer.
Yeah.
I was just thinking green, so I said Hulk, but.
No, if there's a, it could be Nightwing, yeah, possibly if it's a greenish reflection, it could be like Hal Jordan or something.
Yeah.
For Green Lantern, because he's actually one of the core members of the fucking Justice League.
And isn't Superman dead?
Yes.
So they also think that it could be Superman coming back too.
Well, we already know he's coming back.
Well, they think this could be the part, though. Like, they don't show him in the trailer.
Oh. Well, we've already seen shots of Superman in from Justice League.
Dude, I don't know.
Shots of him with his fucking mustache, and, like, apparently there's this mustache debacle going on.
Well, yeah.
And I'm just laughing. I'm laughing so hard.
You gotta get your chuckles in.
Oh, it's good stuff. It's fucking hilarious.
Dude, what about how tonight's like Tim Curry extravaganza?
It really is.
He also apparently did the voice on Clone Wars. We're about to go into the Star Wars corner.
Hell yeah. That's where we're going to hop into.
Apparently, he fucking Tim Curry, the man of the fucking hour, did Darth Sidious and Palpatine, you know, his voice in seasons 5 and 6 of Clone Wars.
Uh-huh.
That's wild.
That's fucking wild, man.
Tim Curry, man. Fucking MVP.
He is awesome.
He's simply amazing. He is literally amazing. I just can't tell you enough.
All right. Well, then we're actually going to move into the actual Star Wars corner.
Got some more news this week. Last week, you know, it was 2 weeks ago now, but we were pretty barren on the news because, you know, we had the behind the scenes trailer. That's all that really came out. It was kind of a letdown, but there was some cool stuff in there. New news though, the trailer now is got the August dates, what everybody's thinking now, sometime in August towards the end, which that would be cool. You know, probably not on August 26th. They don't want to compete with Mayweather McGregor.
Maybe they'll debut it on that.
I was going to say, what about the fact that... God. I was going to say,
If they put that on the pay-per-view and advertise it, they'd get another 1 million buys.
Oh, yeah, easily. Are you fucking kidding me?
They need to go into business together.
Are you kidding me?
I thought of that. Where's my money? Somebody pay me.
Now in Technicolor. That's right. Coming up with that idea. If that happens, we need some money cut. We need some dollars rolled.
But yeah, that's gonna possibly happen in August. It's gonna be shorter than the original reveal or trailer, but it's still gonna have a lot of juicy details I'm hearing in there. You know, no real info, but it's gonna show some stuff. Is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
We had a lot of photos released. There was a first look of like Kylo Ren straight up full in his suit and all that stuff. And then they released Snoke.
I saw the image of Snoke.
Yeah, that's what I was about to talk about. That was big. He is, you know, he's definitely like human. You know,
he's
like,
definitely human.
Yeah, like
he's definitely extra old.
Yeah, in the other movie, he looked all purple. In the other movie, and like dark. In this, you know, he's
He looked purple. He's a fucking hologram. Yeah. So,
but you know, this he looked hella human. He has holes all in his face and his neck.
So is he like burnt?
He kind of looks burnt.
He looks
melted.
Honestly, he was chopped in the fucking head, and at the same time, he looks like one savage, especially most of him. But in his neck and stuff, he was burnt.
Yeah,
and like I mean, it literally just melted the skin off.
Yeah, but I mean, it was
the one right here in his throat, though. That's the one I'm like. It looks so good.
Yeah. And, you know, it made him look... He looks like a fragile person, kind of, you know?
He does.
But what I'm hearing is after you see him in the movie, he's gonna make Palpatine look like a bitch, evil-wise.
But that's what I'm... But at the same time, I'm sitting here thinking, man, okay, he looks fragile, but that's not a damn thing, especially when it comes to all this, like...
The Force.
The Force stuff, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He's not fragile.
He's not fragile... Pretty much too much at all. He's got to be super, super powerful.
He's like the boss at the end of a video game. right? Yeah. Like, he's like the boss. Like, you have to beat him, right? Like, I mean, like, well, that's I think about when I think of him.
He's a super boss.
Yeah, like, he's the, like,
Yeah, for sure. And I'm reading, though, mostly that, you know, I don't think that we're going to get much actual info about his history in this movie.
I wouldn't see why we would.
We're going to save it to the end.
I could see that.
And in this movie, they're gonna reveal, though, what he wants with Rey, like, why he wants her. And, like, you know, what his history is with her. That's the only thing about him they're going to reveal, supposedly, is what I'm hearing, reading in the scandal sheets in Star Wars world. But, you know, that's pretty big. Snoke, man. That guy.
That guy's the focus.
Yeah, there's some new photos of DJ.
Benicio, I was going to say, what about old Benicio?
They showed some photos of him in his cockpit of his ship and his his red chair, his red and black chair.
Did he look like a boss?
That's what he looks very Han Solo, Lando-ish, rogue, like, you know, I fly alone type guy.
Like a bandit.
He had like a leather jacket type deal on, you know.
So very similar to like those kind of guys, like in between there somewhere probably.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that he's going to kind of be the replacement for that maybe. Not, you know, I don't necessarily ever say replace, but the kind of the one that fits that rogue kind of, you know.
Yeah, but is he going to help them?
Hopefully he's not trying to get in Leia's pants.
Right.
In the movie, because, you know, this is before she died. So.
Right. That'd be terrible.
Have to reshoot it.
Oh, gosh. Don't do that.
But, you know, he's got his own ship. It's got its own distinct look.
Okay.
You know, there's not a whole lot.
It's the Millennium Eagle.
Yeah. Just man, eagles are better than falcons, though, right? We don't want to.
Well, I guess, yeah.
We don't want to give him the eagle.
Give him the vulture.
The Millennium Vulture. Yeah, dude, we don't want to make him better than Hans, man.
Oh.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much all. There's still not a whole lot of info on him other than the new photo of him released with that, you know, in his chair. And he's putting off those vibes of the very roguish character. Then the only other thing about this movie, about, The Last Jedi, is there's going to be a huge plot point. It's going to revolve the first trilogy. It's going to be like, you know, it's going to stick to the continuity of the first trilogy, not the first trilogy chronologically, not the first one.
Four, five, and six.
Yeah. Well, the first, I'm talking about one, two, and three chronologically, not the one that was released first, but like in that.
Oh, really?
You are talking about.
Oh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Episodes 1, 2, and 3. You know, because the guy that—that's
right. Because the guy that fucking is a big mark for those three. Yeah. So,
and he wants to bring a huge plot point that brings some stuff back from that movie. And I have no clue what he could be talking about. Really, I don't know if he's going to bring in some kind of Obi-Wan stuff. You know, there's Padme. There's so many things that could happen here. You know.
Like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that happen, and. Still riding this Anakin thing.
Yeah. It's going to be his Force ghost, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. He's been seen around there. I don't know. That's probably where they're going to go with it. But that's something he's talked about recently. He's like, I'm going to have a big plot point. Because he talks about that first trilogy, those first three chronological movies. It's so fucking confusing how it is. You know, like, how.
Just trying to talk about it in general, you have to always like double explain. I guess that's why people always say episodes.
Yeah, episodes 1 through 3. You know, he's always talked about those movies and how much he loves them. Oh. So he wants to try to bring some positive light on them.
You think?
Yeah, I guess he does. Yeah, I mean, he would probably like that, considering they're probably the least like three.
Definitely. Like, yeah, for sure. And then for the new Han Solo movie coming out later, next year.
Actually. Yes.
I got a little info on that one. They've seen the Spencer Wilding, who did most of the work for Darth Vader in Rogue One. He did all the work for him in that movie, except for the ending badass, super badass kill scene stuff. He didn't do that.
Okay.
But he's been seen around the locations of filming for the Han Solo movie. So there might be some Darth Vader in there, which I don't know exactly what he would be doing in there, but
yeah, that's
I don't know. You know, I don't know the timeline. Darth Vader was around though, so
I was gonna say Darth would be around at this point. Darth would actually probably be around for the majority of like his life.
Yeah, probably the whole.
Can you think about that? How old is Han in like episode four?
Like he's probably pretty young.
Mid-20s?
Yeah, so Darth's been around the whole time.
Yeah.
Before.
Yes.
So, yeah. So we're going to see some Darth Vader action probably in there. That's going to be really cool. Yeah. I think they should put Darth Vader in like basically all of the movies, all the little side movies. So, I mean, why not?
Why not?
As long as it wasn't, you know, out of his time frame.
Yeah. I don't remember. I'm probably wrong about that, the age thing, but yeah, I know how old Han was at that point.
Oh, I mean, he probably was in his 20s. I don't know, but
I was like maybe like late, like 30s, maybe.
Really? I thought he'd be younger than that. Luke was really young.
Well, Luke is. I can't really. Is he a teenager? Luke's
they're,
a teenager.
They're there's some strapping young lads. There's some young bucks.
There's some young bucks. That's
got their
true.
Testosterone fighting over Leia.
That's very true. Han turns out all that.
Yeah.
But the kind of defaults.
Yeah. The incestual kiss heard around the world.
Woo!
I love it.
Oh, it's fantastic. But all right, this has been fucking great. And now we are going to get into the actual flashback.
You each have a lethal weapon. If you denounce me to the police, you will also be exposed and humiliated. I'll see to that in court. But if one of you kills Wadsworth now, no one but the seven of us will ever know. He has the key to the front door. Which he said would only be opened over his dead body. I suggest we take him up on that offer. The only way to avoid finding yourselves on the front pages is for one of you to kill Wadsworth. Now.
Is he alive?
Mr. Body.
Step back! Come here!
Let me see.
He's dead!
What? Oh, who had the gun?
I did.
Then you shot him.
I didn't.
Well, you had the gun. If you didn't shoot him, who did?
Nobody! Look, there's no gunshot wound. Somebody tried to grab the gun from me in the dark and the gun went off. Look! The bullet broke that vase on the mantel.
Excuse me. He's absolutely right. Look, there's a bullet hole here in the wall. See that?
Huh? How did he die?
I don't know. I'm not a forensic expert.
Well, one of us must have killed him.
Well, I didn't do it.
Oh, son, I need a drink.
Maybe he was poisoned.
Mrs. Peacock, it's all right. It's all right. You don't know anything. Sit down. Sit down, Mrs.
I had to stop her from screaming.
So 1985's Clue, starring Tim Curry, Michael McKean, Martin Mull, Lisa Van Warren, Lisa Ann Warren, and Madeline Kahn, and Elena Bennon? Bennon, I believe that is it. Yeah, Brennan. Elena Brennan, and Christopher motherfucking Lloyd. Because Christopher Lloyd is the goddamn man, and so is Tim Curry. And Martin Keene and this whole damn cast.
Yeah, I was about to say, man, this is a pretty, At the time, none of these people really have huge starring roles. You know, none of them.
Well, this is 1985.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, none of them really. You know, I mean, Tim Curry has his huge stuff, and Christopher Lloyd has his, but the rest of them, I guess.
Yeah. Well, other than Madeline Kahn.
Yeah.
Madeline Kahn does have, you know, Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles and a number of roles in Mel Brooks films.
Hey, man, I love Young Frankenstein. That just came on Netflix. I just saw that shit. That's good stuff. Gene Wilder.
Hell yeah.
Gene fucking Wilder.
Right?
Gene Wilder's literally the man.
Well, let me tell you about this, man. This is my first time watching this, and the one thing that really threw me back was Michael McKean, because I watched Better Call Saul, and that is, the spinoff of Breaking Bad, and he's the brother to Saul Goodman in that, and
he does a very, he has like a very unique character in that show. Like,
yeah, he basically plays a genius who fucking made this multi-billion-dollar company, who wants the best for his brother and loves his brother, but is like, has this handicap and fucking wants his brother to be like just perfect, and he can't, you know, he's just not. No one is.
I understand.
But it's a good show, you know. It's made by the same guy as Breaking Bad.
Honestly, he's actually a good actor.
He's really
fun to watch.
He's and fucking hilarious.
I need to see
this movie
because Better Call Saul is actually on my to watch list.
You need to get on.
I'm working my way through it. I'm working my way towards the end of Shameless, and then I'm going to move on to, I guess, Bloodlines, and then I'm just going to try to work through the way I wrote it down.
Yeah.
Do it.
Well, Better Call Saul is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Bump that up a couple.
But he's also in the, they do a Clue episode in a show I did watch called Psych. I know none of y'all. Probably neither of y'all watched that or probably even heard of it.
They did a Clue episode?
Cool. They did a Clue episode, as a matter of fact.
I know who they are. Yes.
But they only had Lisa Van Warren and like Christopher Lloyd and Michael McKean.
They actually had Christopher Lloyd and they had these people on.
They had them on.
Tim Curry? Yeah. Did they have Tim Curry?
They did not have Tim Curry. They had a... I can't remember his name. Older feller that's actually, he played on Saturday Night Live a lot. He was one of the main cast back in the 70s with Dan Aykroyd and them.
Chevy Chase.
No, he is a black feller.
David Alan Greer?
No.
That's in Living Color.
Wrong decade. Shout out to David Alan Greer.
I can't look it up right now, but...
I think that...
He actually plays the butler in this. He's really good, and he's always really funny. I just cannot think of his name right now, and it's getting on my nerves. But either way, fucking Clue.
I love Clue so much.
It's got some great one-liners in it all over the place.
Everywhere.
You know, quick-witted humor. It's snappy and all that. I mean, like you said, like we talked about at one point, the dinner scene.
Yeah.
When they're in there, and Mrs. Peacock is just kind of riding everybody at this point, you know, they're just sitting there, and she's like, but how are we going to get to know each other if we just sit here in silence? Do you have a problem with silence, Miss Peacock? Yes, I mean no.
So there's Colonel Mustard, Professor Plum, Mrs. Peacock, Mrs. White, Mrs. Scarlet, and Mr. Green. These are all the people who got invited to a dinner party, right?
Yeah.
They're not their names, obviously.
Nope. And Wadsworth says, well, obviously we're not going to call you by your names as to give away who you are. You should not know who you are. And then Miss Peacock's blabbing her little mouth off, like, don't we want to know what everybody does? And then, everybody's like, Washington. I live in Washington. I know this about Washington.
Yeah, and everybody's there for a crooked reason. You know, anywhere from blackmail to prostitution to habitually throwing around
dad dick.
Oh my
big, God. Massive, veiny dad dick.
I'm talking about...
It's the mustardest of all Colonel, mustard dad dicks.
Colonel is the captain of dad dicks. Dad dick. This guy, literally from the get-go, off the rip, is hitting on every lady in the building.
Yes.
He's dipping his...
First in.
Yeah.
First in.
He's dipping his nose in cleavage.
He was the first one there. Yeah, he was the first one to arrive.
He's sniffing cleavage all night. Like, I'm talking about, this guy's making it a sport. and he's getting the gold medal because this guy's he's going deep. I mean, he is first place.
Going
in.
I mean, come on now. Like, seriously, this guy is there specifically because of the fact that he is being blackmailed for sexual photos.
All I think about this guy.
Of him and Yvette.
All I think about this guy is Roseanne's boss.
Me too.
Yes.
I'm just like, this guy is Roseanne.
I'm like, Leon.
And he was a skeezball
in
that.
Leon, yes. Yeah. His name's Leon on Roseanne,
that,
okay? So I'm like, Leon, don't make me smack your ass and steal
dick.
Some pie.
He was throwing dad
That's
dick.
That's what I'm like.
Just for the other team.
Don't you fucking, I'm like,
But it was
Leon,
fantastic.
I'll smack you around
how
and
do you
steal
think
pie.
The, how do you think the pie was there?
Where, at the bar? Or
at Roseanne's?
Yeah.
Do you think it was good?
Yeah.
I would have to say it was pretty good.
I think
Do you think Roseanne made the pie?
Maybe, yeah.
Probably made the pie.
Her or
John
Jackie?
Davison want a slice of Roseanne's pie?
Probably not.
I think he would thoroughly enjoy a slice.
I think Roseanne's he would go pie. Nose deep.
I think so, too.
And lick the plate.
Yep. Finish it.
I think J-Man would have two slices.
I think that Roseanne's pie comes in only two slices. Like, yeah. Just, that's just stock.
Like half a pie. It's like, if you're not eating the whole thing, by God.
But I digress. This guy's throwing dad dick around, though. That's his problem. That's what he's here for.
Yeah.
Miss
Scarlet, you know, runs like a...
The prostitution.
Yeah.
She's a lady
escort
service.
It's like
a
whorehouse escort service. She says she calls it a lot of nicer things, but that's legit what she does. And so, and Mr. Not Mr. Professor Plum... He got his license taken away from having a sexual encounter with one of his patients, right? That's what happened. Yep, he lost his license.
Yes.
And then Miss Peacock is taking bribes.
Yep, Miss Peacock is taking bribes for votes for her husband.
Yes, she is. And basically everybody's
taking
doing
contributions
something bad.
Is
yeah.
Fine. But when they're in little yellow envelopes under the men's bathroom, men's stall.
Yeah.
Mr. Green just prefers the company of men. He hasn't even done anything wrong.
See, that's the thing. Mr. Green's just getting screwed this whole time. He's just a nice fellow trying
80s,
to make
man.
His way.
It wasn't the fucking 80s.
Whole different way of looking at things.
Marilyn Manson hadn't happened yet and broke the doors off.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, my gosh.
The king of androgyny.
So,
well, David Bowie.
Which, honestly, there was a lot of, yeah.
David Bowie.
Y'all are crazy. What about whenever they get paired off? So, it's Colonel, like, right? They have to draw the little matchsticks. He cuts them two by two.
Well, yeah, after, you get the murders going on.
Colonel's
Mr.
only
Body
hope
and,
in the world is to
the
get Scarlet.
And whatnot.
Yeah, because Mr. Body, yes.
Well, he's more likely to get Yvette.
All he wants is Yvette or Scarlet. That's all Colonel wants. He's like, I need cleavage in my life.
Mr. Body
the more
was
the
found dead.
Professor Plum was more the Scarlet one. Professor Plum was on Scarlet more.
Yeah, that's because their car broke down and they rode there together.
He got him a feel on the way in.
Christopher Lloyd put his hand on her butt.
He did. He copped him a feel on the way in.
Hey, man, inquiring minds.
I didn't know you knew each other. We didn't.
He was just trying to, get a feel for the situation and see what he was getting himself into.
Well, apparently,
so the first
murder,
though, happens in the study. It's Mr. Body, right? He dies not once, not twice, but about three times during this movie.
Yeah, maybe five or six.
Maybe
I
even
can't.
Seven.
At least 16 times.
Yes. So, a gunshot goes off in the dark. They think that he shot, but he's not. And... he's not the only person that they find dead throughout this house. They find the cook dead in the fridge that has a secret passageway. They also find who else dead later? Oh, the cop that comes by. They
the
find
tourist,
the,
I mean,
motorist.
The motorist.
They find who else? Oh, and then a vet ends up. Everybody ends up murdered.
I feel like she got it the worst with the rope, man. That's probably the worst way to die. The stabbing would suck too.
Stabbing
out.
Sucks, but I'd say the ropes actually got to be the worst. Suffocating to death. It's got to be agony.
I don't know, man.
Mr. Body died like eight times. I'm voting Mr.
Yeah.
Body.
Candlestick to the head.
Yeah, that wasn't nice at all. What about all these secret passageways and how they're exactly like the board game, right? That's exactly.
Yep. What about how the hall, like the actual hall of it, the floor is set up just like
just
the board
game. Just like
the board
game. It is the board. See, as a kid, this is what intrigued me because I was watching this and I was like, this is like Clue. It was almost like, it's like what every time after that when I played like the game of Clue, like I almost imagined like Scarlett as her. I imagined Colonel Mustard as him. Like I imagine everybody basically like that movie now. Like that's what I associate Clue with. And
yeah, for sure.
I could definitely see that. I think I will now, except for when we play the Star Wars Clue.
Yeah, we play that one. It's
the Star
fun.
Wars Clue. Other than that, but
that's a two-level board game.
It is.
It's pretty
it
cool.
Is.
I think that so after they figure out the first person dies, right? So they have to figure out. Wadsworth makes it very intense. He's like, well, what if you did it? But, you know, he's like, he intensifies the moment. And he's like, and some people are like, well, I'm just going to leave. And they're like, well, you can't because
the
somebody here knows.
And
he's like, you have to figure it out because somebody here, everybody knows your secret now, basically. But whoever you are and what you do here, everybody knows about it. So, like, you have to figure out what's going to happen because... Because
the police are on their way.
Yes, in 45 minutes. And, oh, my gosh. How about, like, 45 minutes in, you're just like... What about them police?
Yeah, you're right. Like, you're like, where are them police at? Yeah. 45 minutes in.
I think the way that they paired off, though, was because when they drew these matchsticks, right? The way they paired off was Colonel and Scarlet, Yvette and Green. And Green was like anybody but her because he's the gay man, right?
Yeah.
And Peacock and Plum and Wadsworth and White. I do believe that's how everybody paired off. And they all went to explore. Plum and Peacock, they went to the cellar, isn't that right?
They went to the cellar. Green and the Yvette go to the attic. Wadsworth and White do the second floor, yes. And Mustard and Scarlet do the first floor.
And that's when they start finding all the other dead bodies. And then
that's when the murder of the motorist happens, and then you come in and find the motorist. From there, and then the cop shows up, and you have the
cop
show up.
What about everybody wanting to use the phone, and how many phone rooms can you have in a place? They're like,
There's a phone for every occasion.
Tim Curry's face is so funny. How about, like, the first time whenever they come, he's all like, hold on, and he turns around, and they all, like, do a little huddle. And he turns back around on his face. He reminds me of the Grinch. I vote now that if they ever redo, and of course, Tim Curry's.
I'm pretty sure there's like a contract somewhere that says no one can ever redo.
He's not dead.
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure that he would before they did another redo.
He's in a wheelchair now, I think.
Yes, I don't think he would be able to act as the person that I think that they should. So they should have done the Grinch Stole Christmas.
He would have been a great Grinch.
And he would have been the most. Perfect.
He's got such a creepy face.
His smile is great. And in the Home Alone, whenever he in Home Alone 2, whenever he plays the hotel concierge right at the hotel, when he does this one smile, my whole life all I've thought about was the Grinch. That is literally the Grinch.
I actually do think this is funny. Now I think about it. I mentioned that psych thing where they don't have him in the Clue episode, but they got him for a different episode.
Oh.
He's in there as like Simon Cowell.
Oh my.
A character in like a fucking singing Simon competition Cowell. TV show.
Wow. Oh, so he's like acting like the mean judge kind of.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's acting
wow.
like the British mean judge. British and I'm like, but judge. Then that was before the Clue episode. But either way.
I thought this was really great how this movie, you know, had six main characters. You know, it's way different setup than most other movies. You know, usually it's just, you know, there's like a love story, you know, there's, you know, two, three tops. This literally was like six, seven fucking people the entire movie.
It was a great movie.
And they
really
wanted
you
together.
To pay attention to all of them too.
Yeah. It really got the point across for everybody. And
nobody
you know,
was,
it didn't go too deep into anybody.
Yep. Nobody was not important and nobody was like,
nobody was more important than anyone else. And
exactly.
I thought that was really cool. You know,
exactly.
That is very true.
Yeah.
That is very true.
It was good storytelling.
Yeah. I love that. That's very, one of the great things about this movie. And of course, the endings for it, the fact that the three different endings, now we've kind of talked about this previously before we do this, about wondering if having the three endings in the theatrical release and doing them separately actually was detrimental to the release of the film.
Yeah, I was just looking at the numbers, man. Apparently, it barely broke even.
That's yeah, cool. I mean, it didn't do hot as far as that goes.
It's such a good movie for that.
But as soon as it hit VHS, it took the fuck off.
Well, you know, this came out in the 80s, and the 80s was, if you look at, like, the movies from the 80s,
packed.
Well, it's like, goddamn.
Legend came out the exact same year.
But, dude, I'm just saying the whole damn decade was just
The decade's stacked with all sorts of great movies. Like, the 80s,
they were making a lot of great movies, so, like, this is a really good movie, and, like, there's been other great movies, like, UHF.
Yes.
That's one that comes to my mind.
UHF.
Didn't we just talk about what was the Lost Boys a success in the theaters? Or
no, it wasn't.
It wasn't. I don't remember. I don't think it was.
Remember for sure, but I feel like that was something we said.
I smoked too much to remember that.
And drank too much. Yeah, but yeah, there's been, I think, several movies that were Princess Bride. Even, you know, that's a great fucking movie. Was that a success in the theater?
That was a success all the way around.
Good show.
Yes,
very good show.
Good job. I drew myself. I'm a tattoo now.
But yeah,
TMNT, you know, greatest single indie film to ever be released.
Hey, man. Deservingly so.
Indeed. But this movie should have gotten more play, but it's just the fact that, you know, like we said, I wonder if they didn't tell anybody about the fact that there was three separate endings.
Dude, imagine
when they first actually released it.
If you were talking to somebody that lived in a different state and they told you that they had seen the ending of this movie and they're like, "Have you seen it?" And you're like, "Yeah." And you're like, "What'd you think about the ending?" And you're like, "Oh man, whenever you found out blah blah killed it, when you found out Miss Peacock did it, it was just crazy." And the guy's like, "What do you mean?"
You're like, "Miss Scarlet."
It was Scarlet.
It was Scarlet.
And they're like, "What do you? You're like a fucking idiot." Like, yeah. You're down there in the South drinking fucking poison-ass tap water.
I need to have Grandma committed. She's over here saying something about Scarlet fucking killing Mr. Body. But I went and saw this movie, and it was clearly everyone.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to have to get her committed because I think she's got her dementia rolling or something.
And the cousin peeks in and says, "No, I'm Scarlet."
And then the fucking doctor's like,
everybody's like, "No,
no, it was Mrs. Peacock. You're all crazy." And then he commits everyone.
Yeah,
everyone goes.
They had to tell people. They had to, like,
I know it had to be marketed that way because they eventually it.
I bet they marketed it like
they actually did market it and tell people. You know, some people would go, "Hey, you know, this ending will be at this point. This ending will be at this point. This ending will be at this point." So you can see all three of them.
But just like a game of Clue, never, ever is every game the same person. So they were doing that. Yeah. They were trying to be like a legit game of Clue. Like every theater had a different ending.
You could go see the movie three times or something and get something different each time and it not be the same experience.
Which ending do you think is the legit ending? Because it kind of alludes to the third one being the legit one. And which one is your favorite?
Mine is the peacock one.
That's your favorite? Do you think the third one is the legit one?
As I watch the film, I'm like, there are certain points in what was actually done that I kind of still leaves a lot of question. And that's why I say, even though it says this is what actually happened, there's still a lot of ambiguity in it. Because when Wadsworth first actually goes to cut the lights back on in the house, all right, the last person to die was the singing telegram girl at the front fucking door, right?
That was the girl from the Go-Go's, man.
Yeah, the girl from the Go-Go's.
She plays guitar for the Go-Go's.
She's a badass.
Yeah, and the lesser rock star, Leaving, playing Mr. Body, because his last name, his fucking name is Leaving.
Yeah, it was a running gag.
Yeah. There's that. And of course, although I still, you know, like I say, that's the funniest fucking line in the movie for me. You know, almost 25 years later, and I still find this fucking line hilarious with the, "I am the singing telegram."
Hey, man. That was the Go-Go's.
It happened every time.
Oh, it's fucking great. It's hilarious, but...
It's because you see it every time you're watching it, like in VHS. But just there's too, so.
The thing is, she's the last one to be shot. And at this point, you know, you have Tim Curry, his character Wadsworth has stepped into a shower, right? Been hitting with water from the shower because he turned the wrong knob. And then he turns around, he runs out. And then the very next scene really is him after this running from the top of the stairs, like from the upper landing, down the stairs and around to turn the light on.
He runs super fast.
So if he had been the one to shoot the singing telegram girl at the front door, what would the purpose be for running all the way back upstairs to run back downstairs?
Well, of course, to allude to the fact that you weren't downstairs.
But there would be no point because he still had to run downstairs. So at that point, he would just go over to the light and cut the lights back on.
So it would have been like, if you shot her, why were you down? You were down here. They would have suspected him.
Why would they have suspected him? At that point, they would have just assumed he had run down there.
Because he had been shifty. They had been moving too much in the dark.
He didn't move anything in the... How much? What would he move in the dark?
Like, Mrs. White,
you
okay?
Think
about
on.
That.
Yeah, but Mrs. White
he
was
ran
so
down. He
him.
Ran all the way. He ran across the setting for the banister, down the stairs... And went around and to the actual circuit breaker.
So are you saying that Mr. Green did it?
Why would Mr. Green do it? He's the only fucking person in the entire movie. I'm like, he can't have done it.
He always says that too. He's like, it wasn't me. Like,
that's his running gag. He can't have done it, but it just.
Wasn't me. I think my favorite is the third, and I think the third one is the.
No, I mean, yeah, no, everybody has their favorite.
What about you, Ashley?
Okay, so my favorite is also the one with Mr. Green for several reasons. When he says, like, that Edgar Allan Poe phone call is for me. And then when he
Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah, J. Edgar Hoover.
That's what I said.
You said Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe. That was great.
I was like, there's goddamn audio of this.
Don't rewind it. Don't touch it or pause it or nothing. It's
no,
like,
this is that stayed right there.
So, Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah, J. Edgar Hoover calls.
Oh, Hoover Doober.
Mr. Green, right? So, I think the part's funny when he says that. I think that it's funny when he kills Mr. Body at the end. Because when his head goes back in that violet vase, it's really funny. And I always think of Wadsworth not as Wadsworth because in my head, the ending to Clue is that he is Mr. Body. Like, that is always my ending to Clue. So, like, when it first starts, he, like, says something to Yvette, and he's like, Mr. Body, or she says something like, where's Mr. Body? And he's like, he'll be here soon, follow your instructions, or whatever. I'm always like, he's Mr. Body.
When I first started watching the movie, because it's the first time I saw it, I felt like he was the bad guy from the get-go.
Really?
Yeah.
I never felt like he was actually
Chaining
the bad
dog.
Guy.
I felt like he was the bad guy from the get-go.
Too.
It was the dogs were out there. I felt like, because the very first time I watched this, I'm literally, like, about 5-6 years old, so...
Yeah, I'm 30, so...
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, well, I was like, little. 5-6 years old, and when I watched it, I was like, okay, so I gave it up until he walked in the house. I was like, okay,
he
so
creepy.
He's the butler, and then they start introducing the characters and going, and I'm just like, he's shifty, but he's shifty because, like, he knows something.
Yeah.
Up until the point, like, where you get into the study.
Who do you work for?
Okay. And then you get into the point, where he turns out he's like, I was actually the butler for Mr. Body. He caused the death of my wife.
He was, yeah.
You know, basically all of this. And then from that point, his character, his demeanor changes for the rest of the film. At this point, it's a little bit less, I know exactly what's going on, and more of a, I don't know what's going on along with y'all. Until the very moment of the end where we flip the lights back on. Then he turns back in like he literally, as the lights come on, it's like his brain just goes, light bulb.
He's like, man, look at that guy's dad dick.
Yeah, look at that guy's dad dick.
Oh, what about whenever Mrs. White says the flame?
It's funny because he does make the comment, well, what if you're the murderer? Please, if I was the murderer, why would I explain to you exactly how I did it?
Well, he is the goddamn murderer.
Yeah. But they're all the murderer.
Not Mr. Green.
Except for Mr. Green. Mr. Green.
He's just a man who loves his wife.
It is. Or, yeah.
Mentos wink.
Mentos
wink. Oh, I fucking love it.
This was a great movie, though, man.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Is it time to rate it?
Yes, we're going to rate this. Rate it. Okay. J-Man.
Go, J-Man. Go. Go, J-Man. Go, J-Man. Go.
Man, I'm having a lot of trouble with the ratings.
I'm going to get this out of the way because we pretty much can guarantee we know what my actual rating is going to be, and that is going to be a fucking case of 40s because I love the movie. And, I mean, I've loved this movie for 25 fucking years at this point.
Yeah.
So I have to give it, yeah, this, and the scale is based on enjoyment. How much did you enjoy the film? And I enjoy this film that I've seen it a billion times, and not really a billion times, star, footnote, don't actually mean billion times.
Asterisk. Does not compute. I'm gonna go for a solid 4 here. I'm going solid 4.
Solid 4. So you're going for a case.
I'm going for a case.
He's going for a case. He's getting down.
So I give this movie a rating of a 5, a case of 40s, and that's because I love this movie. I've always loved this movie from the first time I've ever saw this movie, and I will always love this movie. I don't think that I wouldn't. And I would always recommend it to others. Like whenever J-Man told me he hadn't seen it again, it's just like, oh my gosh, how have you not seen it? It's older than you, you know? Like, I'm like, you sure you didn't watch it on, you know, TV sometime when it was running, you know? I mean, like, you've never seen it. And the answer is always like, no. And I'm just like, why not? And he's like, if I was playing video games or watching my wrestling VHSs. Like, you like popping the tapes in.
Listen, I had all 120 stars in Mario. I beat Super Mario World. I beat all the Super Marios.
He had 500. He had 500 plus hours in Morrowind.
No,
yeah, that didn't come out till like 2000.
But still, even then, like that's what you're doing.
Still,
no. In the 90s, it was all Mario, all wrestling games.
Lots of NWO.
Lots of NWO. I fucked up Mortal Kombat 4 pretty good too.
Yeah,
the only
you got so mad about that ending.
Yeah,
for Riku.
Yeah. Well, the 64 ending is dramatically different than the PlayStation ending. I'll tell you a game. The only RPG I ever put deep time into was Panzer Dragoon Saga. Yeah. Isn't that what it was called? Or what was it called?
Legend of Dragoon.
Legend of Dragoon.
That shit was fucking balls.
It's a very good
Final
game.
Final Fantasy VII, even though
I never played it. Legend of Dragoon, that was my shit. Tumba.
Fuck, like Timon and Pumbaa squished
Tumba
together.
Tumba was ridiculously hard.
Fuck Tumbaa. I'm going to tell you exactly why I fuck Tumbaa. Because it's ridiculously fucking hard. And when you get to the end of the game, it just restarts.
Well, just like Chuck Rock.
Chuck Rock. I must have missed this
one. On Super Nintendo, the game was called Chuck Rock.
Yeah.
And it was fucking ridiculously hard.
And
the Addams Family video game.
I used to try to play the
Addams Family video game on the Super Nintendo was hard as fuck. Did you ever play that game?
No.
That game was hard as fuck.
Was it? I can imagine it was, actually.
That game was hard as...
Actually, I think I did play it a little
ridiculously
bit.
Ridiculously hard. Like, it was just... I don't even understand. We need to go on something else.
Well, I mean, at least those games had an ending. Tumba didn't have an ending. It literally just restart. Fuck Tumba. But all right, yeah, so we are going to move our asses out of this, and we're going to find out what's floating.
Why are you guys anyway?
We're sort of a club.
Yeah, the losers' club.
You want in?
Yeah, I do.
Hey, we're 7 now. Lucky 7.
I want to kill it.
I just want to forget about it.
It's not just us. It's all the other kids, too. Who's gonna be next?
It kills kids, damn it.
You killed my brother George, you bastard. Let's see you now.
Maybe it's the water.
The water? Maybe it's the sewer.
Hi, Georgie.
Was it Pennywise?
Big white guy, red nose. About 75 feet tall, mouth full of razor sharp teeth.
You smell that? That's death. Losers fight it. Losers die.
They all flow.
All right, so 1990s The It with not actually starring Tim Curry. It's actually like more like, what does it say? Like also appearing,
featuring
Tim Curry as Pennywise the Clown.
I think it's a special appearance by.
Yeah, special appearance by. And, I mean, it's got a lot of familiar faces in this. Specifically.
Who do you think is the biggest star out of this whole movie? John Ritter?
John Ritter, I think.
Yeah.
I think John Ritter.
Sad he's dead.
Yeah, that's terrible.
He's an awesome.
Admittedly, rewatching this, all I could think watching John Ritter was, J-Man is going to love the fact that John Ritter is in this movie.
It surprises me that you can think about John Ritter and not think about his shorts and Three's Company and those fucking buff-ass thighs he had.
Who didn't say anything about buff thighs with John Ritter?
I mean, shorts? Unless my ears aren't working, and I feel like they're working 100.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there was no point at the moment. I was telling you about how I was telling about J-Man. So, of course, J-Man brings up short shorts.
Hey, man, I'm just appreciating art. And that guy was a work of art back in the day.
John Ritter, a work of art.
Problem child.
Yeah, man. He ran a fucking Big Ben's fucking sports stores, man.
That's right.
He had a magic prune in his pocket that saved him from a gunshot.
It's true. My dad's friend. Junior.
You don't like to digress too far. Let's talk about it. Smashley fucking hates this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about capital hates all the way through H-S.
I don't like this movie. Okay, the reason I don't like this movie
whole time just like,
is because
this.
In 1990, Smashley was 4. So this was a to TV, you know, made for TV movie. Guess whose mother read Stephen King's It and was super thrilled to watch this? Oh, mine. That's right. Yeah, mine. So at 4, I was watching this. Just the opening scene alone, when Pennywise is in the laundry of the sheets and he steals the first little girl, you know, that you see. I swear to God.
Which is the future.
As a little girl me, like for real, as a little girl me. Is like hell to the naw instantly. That's what I watch. I watched that 4 years old. Like hell to the naw. Fucking hell to the naw. I still feel like that.
I understand that, and I can totally see that. You know, especially I watched this as a kid, but I actually lived most of this. You know, I was like the fat kid in the movie, and I actually had to experience most of this like trauma. And you know, there was like a clown that hung out in a lot of my sewers. And stuff like that. So I've seen this. So
you were held up by bullies.
Yeah, and they cut an H into my stomach. Yeah. And I fell in a ravine.
Fell down an embankment.
Yeah, I was that fat kid. Like, yeah.
In the movie.
Yeah.
From the story.
Yeah.
Your real name is actually named Ben.
I think that Stephen King basically shadowed me for a couple of weeks to write this book, even though it came out many years before.
It came out long before you were ever born.
But, you know, I'm pretty much rat-ass right now, so it doesn't even matter what I say.
rat-ass.
Yeah, but two sheets to the wind, rat-ass.
Two sheets.
Two Cooter
three
Browns.
Three sheets.
Two Cooter Browns.
Two Cooter Browns.
But listen, dude, this movie, though, it's so made for TV when you watch it back. Like, when you're a little kid and you watch this, it's terrifying.
Yeah, when
and
you're even, a kid, it's so
even,
different.
Like, if you're somebody that is somebody...
Still like that for me.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, even
yeah,
if you're somebody...
Yeah, I was going to say, still gets the same experience.
That though. Gets scared by movies like that. You know,
it's
you
like
could still, I could see it now.
I was going to ask that when I came in for this. Because that was one of the big things that I wondered was, how has everybody's viewing experience changed since, like, they were young and watched it or watched it again later, but for this viewing?
Yeah, for me, it was a little, I still was scared, like, at the opening scene with the girl, and then when Bev in the sink with the balloon when it pops and there's blood everywhere, you know, that scene too. Also, again, with a girl, and I think that's because I am a girl, so, like, me watching this, that takes me back to memories and thoughts of, like, a fear that I had as though being one of those girls, I guess. And so, that's why it's more scary for me. Like, there's parts, like, whenever the dudes are getting eaten, for instance, where I'm literally not as scared, and as an adult now, it's kind of funny. Like, when the dude gets sucked in the pipe, like, that, I was like, oh, what the hell is this? This is, like, kind of ridiculous and weird. It wasn't scary. But, like, when the balloon and, like, when the girl...
The bully gets sucked in the pipe?
Yeah, when the bully gets
sucked. That was fucking cheesy as fuck.
Yeah, that, and see, as a kid,
he folds up.
That
was hilarious.
I bet that scared me.
Admittedly, I do admit that they did make his eyes look like he was dead.
Yeah, he was. It was a dummy.
The bully character.
It was a dummy. Like, you can tell it's a dummy as soon as, like, he actually goes to turn back to fold into the pipe, it turns into a dummy.
The main bully character that tells everybody he's going to kill him reminds me
Henry
of Jay Lost Today.
Yeah, that's it.
That's somebody he totally mirrors him in real life and art.
That's right. I do constantly run around and tell everyone I'm going to kill them.
Yes.
And today is your day to die, fat boy.
Yeah. You were actually the one that pushed me down the ravine.
Yeah.
That's true.
So that's why it kind of mirrors life for me.
It's totally the truth. How about, I think that the kids were better actors, even
definitely.
Though, than the adults. Obviously, the adults had some kind of, like, lame storylines, I think, as they got older. Like, all of them, as you pointed out, J-Man, earlier when we watched the
movie.
They're
all rich as fuck.
Yeah, they're all well off.
They're
famous.
The one that killed himself and lived and died in the fucking bathtub.
Okay,
everybody
admittedly,
goddamn
he kills
fucking...
himself in the bathtub, but here's the thing. This guy, like, literally did really well in his life up to that point,
those
he was
other
doing
fuckers,
well.
Those other fuckers are living in fucking, like, that one fucker walks in, like, a goddamn warehouse that's
Seth
his house.
Green?
Yeah, I think so. He's the comedian.
Yeah.
I don't know. One of them's living, like, in a warehouse. One of them's living in the Beverly Hills. Like, everybody's got a multi-million-dollar fucking setup.
That was Ben that went to the warehouse. That was John Ritter.
Ben is the one that actually is the architect. He's the one that grows up to be an architect, and he lives in the warehouse in the movie.
The one that was on the Time magazine?
Yep, yeah. On Time magazine. Yeah.
That's John.
And then Bill is, of course, the first guy that you see with the long hair, and he's the
John
writer.
Boy Walton.
Yeah. And his house
another
is just
Walton.
Enormous.
Yes. Yeah.
It's another Walton throwback, though. I love how the Waltons keep popping up in all of our...
Two episodes in a row that our fucking show is just littered with Waltons.
There are Waltons everywhere.
John Boy, now get out of here.
Kids walk in the room while we're watching it, and they're like, hey, are we watching the Waltons?
That's what Eli said.
That's literally what our kids say to us. I'm like, no.
They're like, no.
We're not watching
that
the
is
Waltons.
John Boy, but this is not what you think it is.
Oh, that's fucking great.
Yeah, it was. But the kids were much better. Let's speak about the kids real quick, about Jonathan.
Yeah, the
Brandis,
first
right?
the first part of the movie is better than the second part of the movie.
Do you know that he died?
Hmm?
He has the 27-year-old curse. He hung himself.
That oh, did
guy,
he?
Yeah. He died in 2003.
Wow.
That's wild.
I was wondering what he was doing now, so I looked him up, and I was like, well, he's not doing anything now, because I was like, well, I hadn't literally heard from him in a long time, and yeah, he hung himself, apparently. So
that's crazy.
That's wild as shit.
27 years old. The young Bill. He was playing young Bill.
The younger guys, though, like you're saying, the younger cast are way better. They all play their roles, you know, they all fit their roles more and all their trials and tribulations, you know, like, you know, some of them, the Losers Club, you know, the one kid's fat and his mom and him live in the house, you know,
that's still Ben.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, Michael's the black kid getting chased by the fucking bullies.
Yeah. And then the other guys,
what were they going to do with that cherry bomb?
Put it in his pocket.
Yeah, it was like stick in his pocket and blow his damn pocket off of him and hurt the shit out of him with that damn cherry bomb.
Well, that's what they're they said they're going to kill him, legit.
Then, you know, the other kid, you know, the kid lost his brother.
Yeah, Bill lost Georgie.
Lost his brother.
Beverly
goes through the abuse, you know, and the dad reminds me a lot of you too, J-Loss today. That's one guy. If I really had to sit down and pick a character out of any movie I've ever seen to remind me of J-Loss today, it would be the dad.
That's literally the second character you've said that to already.
He's probably going to find one that's a bad guy in every single thing.
No, he did this earlier. He just kept saying something about how he just kept looking at people and saying, that reminded me of you.
It was the bully in this movie. It just happened 2 seconds ago.
Fuck that. It wasn't even just that.
But it was while we were watching the movie, and it was the same movie, and I said it about both of them the same time.
You said it about fucking...
This is true.
Damn it.
John Wayne Gacy.
Yes, John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, my.
And then,
You really do like to dress up like a clown. I always heard you like to call your genitalia pogo, so...
Pogo?
Yeah, so when you dress up as a
Bozo
clown...
Bozo Pogo?
Pogo the clown.
I don't think that was exactly it. Why would I want to name my junk pogo?
Like a pogo stick, because people go up and down on them.
Ah.
Makes all the sense in the world, really. This podcast has turned downhill fast.
It really did.
I had to go soft voice because you're looking things
Stan.
Up.
Stan.
Stan, just random Stan. You're talking about Stan fucking...
Stand by me.
Oh, you compared me to fucking Stan at one point.
Who the fuck is
He's
Stan?
He's the guy that killed himself.
Oh, in this movie. Okay.
I was like, who's Stan to?
That guy's so like insignificant kind of in this movie, you know, because he kills himself. And,
yeah.
And like, you know, I mean, I don't know.
It's the end of the fucking...
What do you think about him killing himself?
First half of the fucking movie.
Okay, this movie though. When you were a kid, it scares the hell out of you. It really did. It really did scare... It kind of scared me, you know, honestly. But I really did dig it though.
That was cool.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty cool movie when I was a kid. And now it still holds up kinda. You know, Tim Curry is amazing.
Yeah.
And him dancing and him doing the clown shit.
And him as Pennywise is great.
Yeah, and tapping into everybody's fears and everything. And the kids still hold up too, but yeah, definitely the parents, like we were just saying. That is what's breaking the most for me as in the later viewing.
Yeah, when they actually become adults in the later viewing, it actually becomes a lot harder because, like, they don't have the same, like...
You can tell it's made for
charismatic,
TV.
Yeah. They're not as charismatic as the kids are when you're watching it, and you can definitely tell it's made for TV. There's a lot of shit that's actually not nearly not right in any possible way. But they do actually give like some, there are some small things that they actually, you kind of appreciate that they do in it with certain lines and just like key little points of it. But there's a lot of things that are wrong. And like specifically Beverly and Tom. And when you first meet Beverly and Tom and they're in there and gonna make the deal, and Tom's all great looking, and he's getting contradictory. He gets pissy at her, and then later they do that whole shtick. I'm like, Tom, that doesn't happen. They just instantly come to Beverly, and they're already in bed, and he's in the fucking bed with a hangover.
What about poor Beverly and how she's just little life of abuse?
Oh, it's terrible. Like it's in the book, it's like 10 times worse.
It's sad for Beverly.
Than what it was in the movie.
Where was like, her mom?
It's so much worse. Her mom, I guess, was dead, and she was raised by her dad, and her dad was, like, fucking abusive. And then her husband is abusive.
Yeah.
That
guy's a mega douche in the movie.
Mega douche. Like, literally.
He really did suck.
Oh, he's an asshole. He, like, beats her in the book.
Yeah.
And all this. And like that comment about the you can go out in 2 days instead of 2 weeks is he literally plans on chaining her the fuck up.
Wow.
Standing for like 2 days and is going to beat the hell out of her.
It's sad.
Is that something he does in the book?
Yeah. Like that's one of the things. Like because during this altercation, while she's on the phone, the entire thing ensues over him actually being pissed off about a cigarette.
Wow. Man, that's crazy. I'd like to read this book or listen to it on tape or something. I can do that, you know.
Yeah.
Because I have time at work and stuff, man. Because, you know, watching the movie back, and you know, there's about to be this remake. What do you think about the remake? The remake
coming out, and I know me and you are highly excited for that, and we plan on talking about it.
It's got one kid from Stranger Things.
Yes.
Which, you know, I love that
show. I love Stranger Things, and I love that kid. He's an awesome actor.
So there is definitely that.
It's rated R, correct?
Huh? Yeah, it's rated R.
So how much further do you think they'll take it?
I think...
Because there's not like a lot of blood in this movie. There's a little bit here and there, but not a lot. And there's a few cuss words here and there.
There's not as many as are actually in the book.
So what do you think this rated R is going to be for? Do you think it's going to be because of like gore and violence? Do you think it's going to be cuss words? Do you think
I think it's going to be gore, stuff? Violence, and you think I think it's pretty much going to be typically what an R is for.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a bunch of gore and violence and like profanities. Because literally probably. These kids.
Well, if you're talking about that abusive relationship, basically they get an R for just that stuff.
Oh yeah, easily.
Yeah,
easily they can get it for that. I mean, hell, you say fuck in a movie one or two more, you know, two or three times, and instantly it's a rated R movie.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
You can get by with one fuck.
What about an HE double hockey sticks?
Oh hell.
You can say goddamn even. They say that on like my regular TV.
I was like, they can say that on the regular TV at this point.
Yeah, but I'm talking about an actual, just saying, H-E double hockey sticks.
Oh, okay, yeah. I don't know, man. They might bleep that. That's a little too hardcore. But seriously, though, this movie, overall, I mean, it's one of my favorite Stephen King movies. It's actually been released, The Stand being the other one, and of course, Misery and stuff like that. But
that was one of your picks.
Yeah, Misery was one of my picks, and of course, The Green Mile. But
you lost that.
What?
You lost that poll.
Oh, yeah, I lost that particular one. Appreciate that.
You won the pick of the day.
I did actually win that, but we'll talk about that, I guess, later, where I got that one, which is surprising in the end. But, I mean, overall, though, like, when you actually get into it and you come back to it, it's not nearly as frightening as it was as a kid.
Yeah.
And although Tim Curry as Pennywise is actually... just still fantastic. I mean, you can't help but enjoy watching that, whether it be in the part one or part two, but part one is still better in the sense of the kids, and then of course part two is just not as good with the adults.
And I think the whole clown thing just works better with the kids.
I mean it does. Yeah, it does. Yeah. But I mean, specifically this is a creature. The general idea of what it really is an actual creature. It's fear.
Yeah.
But it's actually a creature guard for one of the pillars of the Dark Tower, which is on the back of a fucking turtle. Yeah. That's the reference where at one point they make mention of the turtle and how the whole world's on his shell, you know, that's on his back.
Unfamiliar.
it's a whole big thing, man. It's a whole big thing.
I've also heard the earth is hollow, so I don't know if...
No, man. It's on the back of a giant turtle.
Is the turtle in the hollow earth?
No, it is the hollow earth.
I like where this story is going now.
All right. it's actually a really fun movie. I mean, I'm not going to say it's the world's greatest movie. It's actually changed its... positioning on my list of top five Stephen King movies, but it's still on the top five.
Yeah, it's about a middle of the road for me now.
Okay, but all right, so we're gonna hop into it and just get into the actual ratings. So find out if
we gotta lose it.
All right, everybody. So we're just going to go ahead and rate this one and then, you know, kind of go back over the rating for Clue. I'm going to actually go with a six pack on this one. I'm going to give it a 3. Because it's very middle of the road as far as the film goes.
Concur there. And I give it a 3. I think if it was it like one and it was the first part
uh-huh.
and then it two was like. It too.
Yeah.
And I think the first one I would give a 4 and the second one would probably get like a 2.5, maybe a 3.
Yeah. easily.
Yeah, that's what I think would happen for me. The first part would definitely.
I would agree with that.
Because like we're saying, the kids, it just works so much better with more of them in there. And when it gets to the adult stuff, I feel like there's there's still Tim Curry in there. I feel like there's less than there was, maybe. I don't know.
There's a little less visually.
Yeah.
And then plus, it's the whole part where at the end he's the giant spider.
Yeah. That's cool, but
Yeah.
First one's way better for me.
No, I understand.
We're about to hear it get ripped to shreds, though.
I feel like we should have mentioned the deadlights.
No.
We didn't mention the deadlights.
Deadlights are dead, John.
Froze. Well, that's exactly why we didn't mention the deadlights.
That's exactly right. So my rating is a 2. I give it a 40 ounce. I didn't give it a 1 because there's no way this movie could put me to sleep because it scares me. So I couldn't sleep during this movie because I would literally be like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. I was curled up to J-Man like a little baby because I literally hated parts of this movie still as an adult. As a 30-something-year-old woman, I hate this movie. So I give it a 2 because I think that you could have A40 and somebody who likes scary movies would and could possibly enjoy said movie. It's just literally not for me. Ever. Don't want to see the remake. Probably going to be good because they probably
me and J-Man will be going to see this movie and we'll review it. Nope. We will talk about the remake for the It. I think that's going to be, we've talked about doing a new movie on the show, and I think that's the one we agreed upon.
Well, y'all just have y'all's own little segment then.
Hey, man, I tried to go see Spider-Man.
Well, we did. There was
going to
be Spider-Man.
My kid's going to see Spider-Man tomorrow. I'm still not even going.
I still haven't seen Spider-Man. It's terrible.
Everybody's talking about this Dunkirk movie.
Talking bad.
Oh, man, no. From what I've heard, a lot of people really enjoy this Dunkirk movie.
Yeah, that's what I want.
They really enjoy it. Although from one segment that was listening to was a 7 out of 10 apparently means it's hot garbage. There you go, Dan.
I understand.
No, I'm just dick around. Someone literally said that, and it's like that doesn't make any sense.
I was saying that doesn't mathematically
confused. Mathematically incorrect that 7 out of 10 would be hot garbage. I'm just like. That's not what that means.
So definitely Clue tonight won, right?
Yeah, Clue tonight won as far as the two of
best Tim Curry movie.
What is that, like a 14 divided by 3? What is that, like a 4.66 or something?
Oh my God, they're mathing. Somebody help me. Save me now. I hate math.
She gave it a 5, right?
You gave it a 5.
And I gave it a 5.
And I gave it a 4, so that's 14 and it's 3, so it's like 4.66 basically.
Yeah, it's 4.6666. So yeah. 4.7.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah,
nice.
And then the other one has a 3, 3, and a 2. So
yeah, that one's not gonna be solid.
That's not even a 3. That's like 2.7.
It is literally an 8.
That's 2.75.
Yep. So it is a 2.7.
So yeah, definitely.
I have that wrote on my notes just so everybody knows. It says boo, it, everywhere.
So each one of these movies didn't either.
That's a big gap, man.
Yeah, that's a big gap.
That's a full 2 points.
That is a full 2 points on that, man. That is wild.
We got to draw for our next thing.
Yeah, so I'm going to mix this up.
Is this what's our next episode number 16, you said?
It will be 16.
Oh, my God, he picked something.
Something out, just whatever clung to my finger.
I'm scared.
Oh, hell yeah. It's Dazed and Confused.
Yay, not a bad movie.
Excellent.
I like this movie.
I've seen this movie.
This is a good movie. All right.
So now what's going to be our flashback? That's something we're going to have to think deep on.
Yeah, we're going to have to put this one together pretty well.
Yeah, we'll have to do some research. Just a little research on it.
I think I have an idea that we will discuss here in just a brief moment. Now, we have actually been getting into doing the Pitch It segments for the last few episodes, but we actually have run long on this one and going to go ahead and we will catch it on the next episode. So we are highly apologize for that. But as far as the actual poll goes, I actually won the last one for Mountain Murder Mystery. I got the W on this one.
Vote for me.
Escape Ghost Mountain took it.
a vote for John kills a puppy.
No, that's going to be J-Man's new
every
campaign.
Time you vote for John.
A vote for John hugs a baby.
With cancer.
With love.
And spreads cancer to all the puppies.
Cancer is love.
People don't like
love.
Babies.
People love babies.
Yeah, no, they don't. And puppies. Millennials. Have you read all these articles? Millennials are killing beer, babies.
Beers, babies. They're saving dogs.
No, yeah, they love dogs. They love avocado toast. And they love lattes. That's it. They're killing that.
And segways.
Undecided.
Undecided.
Yeah. I don't know for sure. Just look up all the millennials, man. Look up the millennials. You're a millennial, according to Wikipedia.
I know. I'm still, I don't get that.
Hey, man.
I still don't understand how this works. It just doesn't add up.
The most hated man in the Podfix network says.
I don't see how you can just keep pushing. I don't see how you can start off with one generational start date and then just push that bitch back. But
the most
that's
hated
neither here nor there. I'm not getting into that.
The most hated man in the Podfix Network says, "Tune in to the next episode and tune into all of our epic super movie 3B Netflix and Swill fucking murder
Countdown
mystery brothers
in epic
yeah
fucking so I married the damn super movie bro-ness." Damn whore brutality.
Why whore? You threw somebody under the bus.
Hard 3B man. Hard. That's their niche, man.
Are they whores?
Yeah, you fucked my run up, man. I was doing well. I actually had it rolling, man.
You're an old man. You'll get another
one.
You
didn't
one
even
day
give me goddamn twisted.
I gotta talk about Jones coming out.
And my shaking.
I'm Smashley.
Smashley says she's smashed. And she's ready for us to wrap it up. Yeah. I'm just going to say Jones and DC. I'm watching that tomorrow. Jones DC 2. I'm going to talk about that next week because that really is one of the greatest fights in UFC history on paper. They're both pound for pound top guys. So that's a big fight. Oh, the whole card is big. Cyborg's probably going to beat somebody up. Damian Maya might be a backpack again. We don't know what's going to happen. And I'm ready to watch.
Oh my God, Damian Maya is going to be a backpack again.
The dude just gets on people's back and chokes them out.
That's true. It's true.
He's just good at it.
But yeah, I'm done.
All right. So we got to get out of here on this. But the only thing I'm going to say is everybody, y'all can check out Now in Technicolor at nowintechpod.weebly.com, Now in Technicolor on Twitter. Look it up on Facebook. Put Now in Technicolor on the fucking search engine. You're going to find it. At the same time, you can check out the Podfix Network at podfixnetwork.com. And pretty much when this episode will be airing, I will also be on Super Movie Brothers for an episode of that. And I will actually have my own segment called John's Technicolor Corner. So that should be fun.
Technicolor Corner.
Yeah.
He's turning a corner with a Technicolor Corner. Smashley out.
All right, everybody. God damn it. This has been great. We've had a fun time. Everybody take care and stay colored.
Check out more shows like it at podfixnetwork.com.